Father God, we just want to thank you for this word today. We want to thank you for who you are and what you've come to do in our lives, that you never change and you are faithful. You're faithful to complete the work which you started in our lives. Faithful is he who called you and faithful is he who will bring it to pass. I ask God that as we open your word this morning, you'd speak to us and that we'd move from this place knowing we've heard from you, we've experienced you, we've been blessed by you, and that we've been a blessing to one another and to you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, this passage of Scripture Jesus opened up in his second year, the beginning of his second year of his ministry in Galilee, when he came into the synagogue where he grew up. He'd already had a year of ministry of miracles, a year of ministry of preaching, a year of healing, a year of powerful movements of God in the people's lives. And he comes to his hometown and he opens the Scripture, and I want you to see it. I want you to see who Jesus is, what Jesus will do. And when you see who Jesus is and what Jesus does, you understand that when you come under his throne, when you come under his authority, when you come to Christ and you're in Christ, this is who you are, this is who we are, and this is what God calls us to do. This ought to be the normal Christian life and Christian ministry of our church, of our lives, of any believer who comes under the headship and rule of Jesus. And he says this: this is who I am. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me. I'm a Spirit-filled man. I am the Lord God himself. I am God. The Spirit's on me. He's anointed me to do this, to bring good news to the poor or to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. He has sent me to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them garlands instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. And they, my people, will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, watch, that he may be glorified, that he may be given witness to of how great he is. Jesus says, this is who I am. I'm anointed of God. I'm of the Spirit of God's upon me. He's anointed me, and he has sent me to proclaim this good news. We talked last few weeks, good news to the poor. What does that look like? What is good news to the poor? We've also talked about when God comes, he targets certain areas of people's lives. And first off, when he says, listen, I've come to give good news to the poor, he comes and he targets your lack. Whatever that lack is, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, he comes to target it and do something to change you, to bring you out of that pit, to bring you out of that miry clay, to place you upon the rock, to take you out of darkness into his light, to take you out of weakness into his strength, to take you out of your sorrow to your joy. This is what God says. This is what Jesus says. This is who I am, and this is what I'll do. I will proclaim and give you good news and give you principles and give you the prescription to get out of lack. But I want you to notice the next thing that he says in this passage. He says, I have come, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to bind up, to heal the brokenhearted. And the question, a couple of things, just speaking of this one little phrase. Brokenhearted people are people with wounds. They are people with hurt. They are people who have struggled with things done in their lives, perhaps by other people, or even that which is self-inflicted. A broken heart in the Hebrew is a heart that is crushed, it is shattered, it is torn, it is wounded. It's a heart that has busted. It's literally what the Hebrew says of this word. And he says, listen, I have come to bind up busted people. I have come to bind up broken hearted people. I have come to heal your wound. I have come to heal your hurt. And it's interesting that to me that as I walk through life and I walk through ministry and I have all kinds of various people come through the years in the study or an appointment who've come with serious sin problems, serious lust problems, serious anger issues, you can almost always see where it started when they got hurt. When they got wounded. I've often said that there's so many of us who are in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. With still an 8-year-old, 10-year-old boy or girl in our heart and life. That's still carrying out wounds that took place toward us, spoken, done, when we were just children. There are broken-hearted people all around you today. But you may be here and you may be brokenhearted. And it may be some things in the past that's taken place, or it may be way past, way deep down, way back in your history, or it may be things that have happened the last month, 2 months, 3 years. Wounded. I've often said, and you'll hear it again because we'll move to the next couple of weeks where Jesus comes to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set prisoners free. But I want to tell you, a prisoner is a hurt person. A person in bondage is someone who is wounded. I had the opportunity, and you know of this, for many years, for 18 years, to go over to Huntsville, put to Gatesville, to the Hughes unit, the only male unit in that town, and to go and speak to 200 to 300 men every second Wednesday for 18 years. And all these hardened guys, all these guys that had done horrendous things, unspeakable things, they'd walk in and I'd think, gosh, it looks like they're just 10-year-old kids coming to camp. And God said, they are 8, 9, 10-year-old kids in their heart because of the wounds and the hurt of their lives. And you may be here today and you may have a wound, you may have a hurt, you may have something from childhood or adulthood, or you may have something that happened 3 weeks ago that you're just hurting over and that you're just struggling over, and the wound is deep. The wound hurts. But our great God says, I'm coming to bind up, to heal your wound. Amen. He comes to heal the wound. You know, I was thinking about what are the things that wound us? And is there a corresponding passage of scripture that's opposite, that is the antithesis of that wound that we find in God? Stay with me for a moment, because I was thinking about really the very first thing that I can think of a wound is the wound of rejection and abandonment. There are many people in our lives, and there have probably been many times in our lives that we've walked away from a relationship just feeling rejected or abandoned. Have you ever felt that way from a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a friend? Have you ever felt that way? Just rejected. Just this place in my life that I just feel like I'm abandoned by this parent, abandoned by this person, abandoned by this grandparent, abandoned by this brother. And it might have happened when you were young. And I often think of why is that? Why is there such a spirit of rejection on so many people? And I see the antithesis of that. I see the positive thing in this of who God is. God accepts you unconditionally. And if God accepts you unconditionally, if the greatest virtue of the kingdom of God is God's unconditional love and acceptance of you, where do you think the enemy is going to come and target you? In the area of rejection. Anything that God is what the enemy comes against. And if his greatest virtue is the unconditional election or the unconditional love of his children, by which, if you have your notes, there's a mention of Romans chapter 5, verse 16, 6 through 10, that his love was so great that he demonstrated his love when he died for us and reconciled us while we were helpless and ungodly and unrighteous and as sinners and as enemies of God. God loved you so much, he came to accept you while you were an enemy, while you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He came along and said, come alive to my love. Come alive to my kingdom. Come alive to my ways. It was unconditional. He didn't wait for you to get better. Why? Because you'll never get better without him. And so he came, and he came, and he met you, and he knocked on your door, the door of your life, to come into your life. And your house was a mess. Your life was a mess. He comes to heal unrighteous people, not righteous. He comes to clean up dirty people, not clean people. And it's unconditional. And so what he'll do is, what the enemy will do is come and target the unconditional love by God by somehow, in through what I believe is spiritual warfare, to come and trip you up and to do it as young as he can in your life. So that you go through this life rejected by a word of a father, or rejected by a word of a mother, or even an abandonment where they just abandoned you and they went separate ways from you. Brokenhearted people. There are brokenhearted people in your jobs, in your lives, all around you, who suffer from rejection, who suffer from abandonment. I see it all the time. You know, it's real interesting. If you grow up in church, and you have that privilege to grow up in church, you find out that 8, 9, and 10 year old, the period of 8, 9, 10 are really significant years in a child's life if he's grown up in church. I can't tell you how many people I know who grew up in church who came to Jesus when they were 8, 9, or 10. Something's happening in that time. But I've also seen people who've come into the study with hard problems and hard struggles, and I ask the question, what was happening at 8, 9, and 10? And they can say these things were happening that were really negative in my life. Really negative. It's where abuse happens. It's where divorce happens. It's where, I mean, you just go on and on and on and on, and you just see the things that are done or the things that happen to us when we're 8, 9, and 10. So that somehow we get to this place that we say, where's God? Where was God? Where the enemy takes your mind off of who God is and what God wants to do in your life. You've heard me say this, I'll say it again, over the next few weeks. If you've been hurt and wounded and you nurture that wound and that nurture, you're going to take an offense over it sometime, at some point. If you don't take care of the offense, you're going to get angry. And if you don't take care of the anger, you're going to walk in unforgiveness. And if you don't take care of the unforgiveness, you're going to have a root of bitterness that'll defile everybody around you, and the cycle will continue. That's why Jesus says, I've come to bind up and to heal what's broken in your heart. I've come to give you, matter of fact, I've not only come to bind it up, I've come to give you a new heart. Full of God's glory. Full of God's purposes. And the thing that I have to ask you today is if there's some things in your life that you're struggling with sin-wise, maybe it finds its root in a wound. Maybe it finds its root in a hurt. Maybe it finds its place and its beginning would happen back when you were 8, 9, or 10. And yeah, you might have come to Christ and Jesus is in your life, but something just keeps reoccurring in your life over and over and over. It's like a big old cycle where you get things taken care of, but the next thing you know, 18 months later, you're back in the pit. We see it all the time. Jesus says, I've been sent to bind up your broken heart. And if you have any kind of rejection issue or any abandonment issue by a parent or by an uncle or by an aunt or by a brother or a sister, the thing that I'm going to say to you that we're going to be talking about next week is the way back is to accept the unconditional love of God and to be identified as that. And not find your identity in what someone else did or what someone else said many, many years ago. And how you've got to get to this place that you're going to forgive and let go. It's the only way out of that mess. rejection, abandonment. You know, I've also seen where kids have grown up where the parent, one or the other, one or both, have just been absent. So I just call it parental absence. And you know, I think I look at the antithesis of this. I look at the positive thing about God, but Jesus is the one who says, hey, listen, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm promising you my presence. I will always be with you. And the second thing he says is, listen, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. And so what the enemy does, he brings us into relationships that can be harmful. To get to this place where I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, listen, I'm struggling over not only rejection or abandonment, but where were you, Dad, when I needed you most? And sometimes that happens from a death of a parent or a divorce or just emotional absence. And I want to say this to us dads and moms. Our children need to know that we are present even when we are present. Because there's much of us are so distracted in this life sometimes that we're there, but we're not there. And we do it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And then kids grow up and they've got these struggles and they're running after somebody. They're running after somebody to fulfill the need and they get in the illicit relationships or they find some people that they'll run with. And before you know it, they're running in the wrong crowd. Why? Because they're looking for someone who will be present in their lives. Let me just say, unless Jesus is present and he's the one that's your aim, you will always have a propensity to fall for this. And get hurt by somebody else and form a wound in your life. And that's why you always hear me say, listen, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I heard a quote by C.S. Lewis this week. If you aim for heaven, you'll get earth. If you aim for earth, you won't get either. Really interesting. We seek God first. We seek him first in his kingdom. We love him most. We keep our eyes on his image. We keep his eyes on his responses so that we are being conformed into his image to respond the way he responds. Because I don't know, I just see it all the time. A parent that's absent can oftentimes produces a child who grows up in adulthood angry and walking in unforgiveness. And I want to tell you, Jesus comes to say, listen, I am with you. I am with my sheep. I am the good shepherd that's present, that is always, always available. I am the high priest. I am omnipresent in your life, and that I am available for you 24/7. I'm here. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't think it, even when you just can't try to conjure it up, all that you can. All that you can. Have you ever been there where you just thought, where are you, God? Yeah, you knew that he was there, but you just weren't hearing him. Just weren't hearing him. When our grandson fell and had that brain bleed, and we were in that waiting room, waiting for this surgery, just on death's, knocking on death's door. And I just want to tell you, folks, I was struggling. I just felt like I couldn't hear God. I desperately wanted to hear him. And for 8 hours, I'm crying out, I want to hear you. I want to know that you're present. I believe that you're present. I don't doubt that. But God, I need you to speak into me right now, right here. It wasn't until 12 hours later that God spoke. I had someone say, it's a Facebook thing, when I was asking for prayer, and he said, I hope God hears you. Someone who's been hurt, someone who has struggled. And my first thought was this: oh, I'm more important. I'm more concerned about me hearing him than I am him hearing me. But I still needed to hear him. I needed to hear him. And so do you. So do you. And God says, listen, I'm with you. I'm right here in the middle of the flame. I'm right here. Maybe you don't feel it. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you don't hear it. But I'm telling you, he's here because he is not the absent father. He's not the absent mother. He's not the absent friend. And yet we go through life and we get defined by people in our lives that just seem to just float away and go away. And we get hurt over that. And there's a wound that forms. And it may be parental absence. It may be friend absence. But I want to tell you this. If you know who you are in Christ and what God has given to you and that the Holy Spirit is in your life interceding for you right now, right here, whenever it is right now, right here, I'm going to tell you, you have the greatest treasure of all the earth. It'll never be taken away from you. But there's some of you in here who grew up under absent fathers. You know, when I look at society, I see that. When you look at the divorce rate, and God said it in the Old Testament. He said, listen, part of my judgment is, man, you know what? Other people are going to raise your babies. And I see it. I see children who've grown into men and women whose father was absent. And there is a wound that needs to be healed. It needs to be healed. Jesus says, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. And let me tell you something. You don't have to be 8, 9, and 10 to suffer from, be hurt over a divorce. There's adults that I've known in their 20s and 30s or 40s where their parents have divorced and it has literally destroyed their heart. Seen it. Maybe you've experienced it. Men and women still in their 50s or 60s or 70s and are still thinking about, where did he go? Where did she go? Why did they do that? Why weren't they in my life? You may be here today with that kind of wound. I want to tell you, God wants to heal that wound today. He wants to begin the process of recovery for you, if that's you. Parental absence, or just absence in general, and how important it is to be present. And then I think a third one is abuse. Whether it's verbal, whether it's physical, or whether it's sexual. You know, I think about abuse and I think about God. You know, that favorite verse of ours, we learned it as a child, John 3:16. Look at it for just a moment. It's the beloved verse of the New Testament, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But look at the next verse, because God did not send the son in the world to judge you. He didn't send him into the world to condemn you. He didn't send him into the world to speak evil of you. He didn't come into this world to abuse you. He didn't come into the world to be some mean God that's just ready to throw a lightning bolt at you whenever you mess up. That's not our Father. Because I'm going to tell you, you came into this world sinful, the sinful nature, already judged and already condemned. Jesus came to speak life into you. And life, my friends, is not abusive. Life is gentle. Life, words of life are encouraging. Words of life are just full of love. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't confront your sinfulness, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't confront the things that are wrong in your life, because he loves you enough to say, hey, this is in your life, and it doesn't need to be here. It's not working for you. And I got something that works for you. And I see it. We see it all the time. See these children who grow up verbally abused. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. Let's get something clear. I'm your father, not your friend. You go find someone else to throw the ball with. The little things that just go with us for life, that define a hurt and a wound. And I want to say that Jesus comes to heal your wound. He comes to heal your broken heart. He comes to do such a work, whether you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, your teens, even if you're a child in here today. Listen, he comes to heal the wound. was talking with someone yesterday about this message, and they said, are you going to talk about loss? Loss can be a great wound. But we're going to talk about that in a few weeks when Jesus comes to comfort all who mourn, when he comes to target the losses of your life, to fill it up, and to comfort you in your mourning. I ask the question, what is your wound? Do you have a wound? Now, you may not be here wound. Listen, I'm not telling you to go look under every rock. Hey, wound, where are you? Please. I'm saying, is there something that resonates today that hurts your heart even now when you think about that rejection, that abandonment, that verbal thing that someone said, that boss who did something to you, that husband, that wife, that spouse, that son, that daughter, that grandfather, that grandmother? Is it still hurt your heart? Because I want to say is that Jesus came to do that. I want to finish this message, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And as you're turning there, there's a couple of other passages of Scripture that the Scripture speaks of. One is Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and to heal or bind the brokenhearted. Now, what I want you to see in Isaiah 53, this prophetic word of Jesus, we know this passage as the suffering service. And there's three things that I want to go just leave you with before we have invitation. Number one is Jesus experienced grief and sorrow. Jesus experienced affliction. He experienced grief. Do you remember when he was at the gravesite of Lazarus and he wept? I mean, even knowing what he knew about eternity, even what he knew about what was about to happen, he wept. There's two sisters and their family members, and they're grieving the loss of this brother. And they're professing such great faith, Martha and Mary. Oh, if you would have been here, he'd never died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God to do, he will do for you. But they're suffering. They're hurting. They're emotional basket cases in that moment. And Jesus comes along and he joins you. He joins you in the mourning. He joins you in the grieving. And that's what he does. The Scripture says he wept. Jesus, Almighty God in the flesh, fully man, fully God, experienced loss, experienced abandonment, experienced being betrayed, experienced the absence of people. And he hurt. I wanted to say this. There's nothing wrong with hurting. There's nothing wrong with grieving. And nobody can tell you how long you're supposed to grieve. But I want to tell you this. Jesus comes to heal that grief. Jesus experienced grief and sorrow. So notice it here. He says, verse 1, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him as a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. Jesus, he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Watch, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, acquainted with wounds. Sorrows. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. You want to talk about rejection? You want to talk about absence? You want to talk about verbal and physical abuse? He experienced it. He experienced it. But I want you to notice, not only did he experience grief and sorrow, The scripture says, verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. First, Jesus experienced what you experienced. Second, he bore your grief on that cross, on his body, on that cross. He bore your grief, and he bore your sorrows. Do you remember the time you first believed in Jesus, that Jesus took all your sins away and he bore it on the cross? Do you remember that day? Do you remember how freeing it was that I'd had all these sins and all these things in my life that I'd ever done, and he died in my place and he carried him? I want to tell you can have the same experience today when you come to believe that he bore your grief and he bore your sorrows on that cross. Not only your sins, but your sorrows and your grief. And you think, you don't mean that, do you? Oh, I mean it with every fiber of my being. If he comes to heal it, he's not only come to heal it, but he's come to take it away. And you say, what if I'm still being wounded? What if I'm in this relationship and I can't get out of it, and I'm still being wounded? I want to tell you, when you get wounded, he's ready to heal that one right up. You can just look at it and say, oh, it's just a flesh wound. I'm not going to let it hit my heart. It's just a flesh wound. And I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it right now. And you know, that's why Jesus says, Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 3 times? No, 70 times 7 you forgive. Why? 70 times 7? 70 times 7? I, what is that? That's the power of God. It's the power of God that guards our heart from the wound. Jesus bore the wound. He experienced it. He experienced what you experienced, and then he bore it. And then the scripture says, not only that, he's available right now, right here, to take care of it. I want you to notice, look at verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us, we've turned our own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was really due. His grave, he says, was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord, watch, was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself a guilt offering, so that he would see his offspring and proclaim his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it, and God will be satisfied. The Bible also says in this passage of scripture that he would justify the many. You know what the word justify means? It means to declare righteous. But there's a deeper meaning to it. It's not only declare, but in the Old Testament word, it's to make right. He makes you right by the cross. He experienced grief, sorrow. He carried your grief and sorrow. And then he comes to make it right. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Praise team's going to come up. I'm going to ask the question, what is your wound? Do you need prayer today? Some folks that I've invited to come up, if you come up right now to altar to pray for you. You know, the Bible says that in Hebrews that he's the great high priest who experienced everything you experienced. He was tempted in all things, yet without sin. Therefore, the Bible says he knows how to come to our aid. because he's a great high priest who's experienced what you've experienced. And so then he says, so let us enter into the throne room of grace that we might find grace and mercy in our time of need. I want to ask the question, what's your time of need right now? Do you have a daddy wound, a mama wound? Do you have a wound that just doesn't seem to go away? Today's the day to address it. Today's the day to say, you know what? I want to start nailing this down and I want to walk away from it so I don't keep picking this scar year after year after year. But I laid at the foot of the cross where the enemy also becomes a footstool. I laid at the cross and I laid the enemy's words at my heart, that come to my heart and to my mind, and I laid it at his footstool. So he can trample it. Church, Jesus comes to heal your wound. That's what you get when you get Jesus the Savior. You get Jesus the Lord, Jesus the healer. And if there's anything that you don't get but this, is that I pray in Jesus' name that Jesus would birth within you a faith to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did today, he did for you, so that he might take away this hurt and this grief and heal your heart. In the name of Jesus, be healed, church. Be healed, Mr. and Miss. Be healed, man and woman. Be healed of your wound. Father God, I pray that we not leave this place without settling with faith that you've come to heal the wound. I ask that as we open this altar, that people would find freedom. As they come to someone to pray, that they find freedom. That even after the service, these folks will still be up here lingering to pray for them. Maybe it's just somebody needs to go and not come forward, but walk across the aisle and ask someone else to pray for them. I just ask, God, that ministry would flow. Holy Spirit, living God, would you flow? Would you come heal our hurt? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.